call to order the Wednesday, May 3rd, 2006, special meeting of the Napomo Community Services District. Please rise, join me in the flag salute. Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mrs. Bognuda, would you call the roll, please?
Director Eadie.
Oh, here.
Director Trotter.
Yes.
Director Lucy.
Here.
Director Winn.
Here.
President Verhoeven.
Here. This time I'd like to open it to public comment. This is a study session on our draft fiscal year 2006-2007 budget. And at this time, open it to public comment. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. And Mr. LeBrun.
Thank you, President Verhoeven. What we have today is an opportunity for the full board to review the draft budget for the coming fiscal year. And with staff here to entertain any questions your board may have. We of course, at this point, have worked with the subcommittee, have met two separate times with the subcommittee, worked out some level of detail with the budget. We have a good budget, good foundation set for next fiscal year. However, we are interested in your full board's inputs, any questions. We would hope we can answer those questions today, but if we're not able to do that, we'll do some research and be back to the board with answers to those questions. And then our schedule going forward after today, if you could help me, Lisa.
We will publish a notice of adoption for the June 14th meeting, and the resolutions would be before the board at that time. However, in the interview, Mr. Crimes indicated he would be out of town that week, so we may have to adjust our adoption schedule based on his vacation plan. But that would be the plan, unless the board feels that there's a need for another study session. If we make any changes we have today, and then adoption.
At what time is it appropriate for the public to comment?
Today and at the public hearing, but if there is specific issues, it would be preferable that we try to get those addressed before the day of the adoption.
Yeah. And the public hearing date?
June 14th is, or whatever day that we accommodate for Mr. Crimes.
Yeah. That's yet to be decided.
Right, and of course today is a great opportunity for public comment and workshop.
Mm-hmm. As we walk through it, as we go through this, I want the public to feel free to pose any questions that they may have, though it's a relatively large document.
Bill Nelson, represents Black Lake today.
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Good morning.
Mr. President.
Yes, Mr. Wayne.
I'm hearing staff saying, so you're sort of thinking to start opening up with Q&A, and I'm curious whether there's going to be a staff presentation before that.
No, staff had not planned a presentation. Last year's workshop, we took this opportunity to go through with the full board and basically a page by page as needed. Whatever your pleasure is. Yeah.
Sometimes an overview can be helpful.
True. So, with that in mind, I trust everybody's had an opportunity to sort through this with a fine tooth comb. So,
an overview once again. We funded by that assessment district, the street light, or street landscape maintenance, which is an assessment district. Those are funded by that area for those costs. Then we have the non-operating budget, and I've had great assistance from Mr. Buell this year to put that budget together, and that encompasses all of our capital improvement projects that we are going to be looking at in the next fiscal year. It'll be funded by capacity charges and our COP monies and our supplemental water fund. So we have two separate budgets. That non-operating budget actually starts on page 60. We go through that with Bruce. If you have specific questions on that, we might want to start with that because Bruce has a webcast at 10 o'clock and he would be able to answer most of the capital improvement project items. A couple of new things we have in the budget this year. We've always had much interest in our repairs and maintenance budget. And this year, we have that line item in the operating budget within each fund, but I've also broken it out on page 55. I mean, we still have our general repairs and maintenance, but we also have some specific repairs and maintenance projects planned for this coming fiscal year, including hiring a company to actually do our flushing and our valve churning, since we never seem to get on the regular schedule, so we do plan on hiring that out this coming year, as well as hydrant painting, and we also do our sewer jetting, and we also have some maintenance that needs to be done on this building that, you know, it's getting to be at that time in its life. It's about 9 years old, and we have some dry rot and such that we're planning. So I've tried to break out some repairs and maintenance specific items that might be of interest to the board. So, and otherwise, as far as the operation and maintenance budget, it's very simple. Nothing major has changed from last year. The line items are, with the exception of the water conservation recycling program, Madonna is trying to come up with a budget for next year, and it's not set in stone. We just had to come up with the program and what we think we would like to do before any major dollars or programs are implemented. It'll definitely come to the board for approval, but these are her goals for next year. And as we proceed in the coming years, that budget will be refined. But we wanted to just try to, you know, she's hit the road running, and so we want to make sure that we have everything available to her for that.
Now, is that proposed, draft budget for her position, is that also under discussion today? Or are you just going to take a bottom line number and plug it into this?
Well, that's what we've done is she's actually given me a detailed list, which I gave to you. That document's not incorporated into the budget as a specific line item budget. What I've done is just basically taking the dollars that she is proposing to spend and put it in the budget. And then when she gets to a point where she has a specific project or program she wants to implement with the board, she would discuss with the conservation committee and come to the full board for approval. So
I just see monies being spent here for things that other people are already funding. So are we taking over their programs? The demo garden, for example, is already being done by another organization. Are we going to assume their garden and the funding thereof? Or you see this, I don't mean to get us off track today.
The sheet that was given is what Madonna used is to formulate a guess of what the budget for this first full year of a conservation program in this district may need. She was not able to do an exhaustive search to say, is anybody doing a demonstration garden? So it by no means intends for us to do work or take over programs that are existing in this community. Certainly, though, we do look forward to working with any existing programs in those means. But no, you shouldn't take that as saying we're going to take over demonstration gardens. Then that's not what it means.
It's just that if you remove some of those issues that are already being covered, I think this comes out as a slimmer budget.
Certainly.
And it may be $10,000 less in the year.
The problem being, without an exhaustive knowledge of what all is going on in the community, there may be programs that we didn't identify in there that could have tuned it to $10,000. And we asked Madonna to, based on her 3 months at this point, give us her best guess going forward where we'd see some expenditure. So we hope, as we do with all of our budget projections, that we are in a reasonable ballpark of what will be expended. I think what's really important to understand with the conservation program here is that we are not looking for authorization of, there's some line items in there about rebate program type of things. We are not, by approving this budget, we are not approving any specifics. That's why we specifically held that out. We didn't want the board thinking, well, if I approve this budget and this bottom line number, next thing I know, we're going to have a rebate program, and I may not want a rebate program for tiddlywinks or wash machines. The specifics of it will be back in front of Conservation Subcommittee and then ultimately the full board before any program-specific decisions are made. I want to stress that.
Mr. Trotter?
I've discussed this a little bit with Lisa. It seems to me that it would be appropriate to have Madonna break that down a little further and decide what she needs for this fiscal year we're talking about, and then defer the other. Is that practical?
I think it is. I think
it's broken down to chairs and tables. I mean,
right. That's what we attempted to do. The memo.
In other words, it's a master budget, not necessarily going to impinge on this particular fiscal year.
No, that is a projection for this fiscal year.
No kidding. I understood differently. Because there's some one-time items in there that, in any event, I didn't realize it was a one-year budget.
And there are some, with the initiation of a program, there are some one-time expenses that are incurred. Initiation the first time we go through them.
Well, we'll probably come back to that when we get to the point that you've inserted it in the budget. I didn't mean
fiscal
to
year.
Shanghai your presentation.
But like I said, if we can maybe go to skip through and go to page 60 to capital projects, if you have any questions on that.
The thing that the public is most likely to read are about the first five pages.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest one there just for public consumption. It's not about numbers. It's just about perceptions. If you look at page 3, item 4, the last paragraph, says district in Black Lake is incurring ongoing legal fees as a result of litigation. The fifth and final phase of the trial expected to be complete summer 2006. Now, I think that is true, but it implies something that's not true. It will be the final phase of the trial. It will not be the final phase of the litigation. This is going to be appealed. I don't care what the results are. It's going to be appealed up the line. And we will have continuing costs after this summer. And I just think it's sober for us to recognize that up front instead of creating the idea that somehow we're going to be out of the woods and we can chop all this litigation charge off of our rates.
Yeah, we might want to add a sentence in that, however, the district is anticipating that the
I do
decision
expect,
will be appealed to higher
I do expect our cost to slim down tremendously. I think this is a more expensive level than the appeals, which tends to be more procedural, and you don't have all these studies and engineers and all that sort of thing. Nonetheless, we're not out of the woods this summer. So
nice.
Any way you would like to word that, I
would be nice, but I have to agree with you. Mm-hmm.
And my next question before we get to page 16, I think you wanted to start at 16.
60.
60? Oh, I've got more than that then, sorry.
Why don't we, you know, let's go through pages 1 through 5. We'll start 1 through okay. 5 and...
What we'll do is keep an eye on time because again, the reason Lisa's pointing us to 60 right now is that Bruce will need to step out at 10 o'clock. So we should say by 9:30, if we're not, into the non-operating, we can jump forward, handle the non-operating budget, and then come back to pick up where we're starting off.
Yeah.
I don't have any more questions to page 12.
Okay.
But others may.
Any other questions up
through page 12? Mine has to do with was just mentioned about the maintenance and repair program. I didn't realize before that we were planning on contracting out these maintenance items. It's about $100,000. That's quite a bit of money. I was just surprised that our own people couldn't handle that and work that into their schedule.
I don't know that that surprises me, but that we can't handle that, but it is a fact. We have not been able to...
Is it because of lack of a plan, or is it because they're just overwhelmed with everything else they're doing?
I think it's the latter that leads to the former. They're overwhelmed with everything else they're doing, and thus haven't been able to come up with a plan to do flushing. We've had some attempts to start a flushing program that have not been successful in doing it. And I do feel that it's a probably overall is a level of staffing issue.
Yeah, it's just that I look at routine things like a maintenance program or a scheduled repair program, replacement program. I look at that as things that, since they are scheduled, you should be able to work them into the staff's duties. I look at contracting out as special one mm-hmm. at a time type of thing that you can't anticipate, and it creates a spike in your workload, and therefore you contract it out. But for a maintenance thing like this, unless there's been some kind of a cost study that shows that we can do it, somebody else can do it cheaper than we can do it on a maintenance basis, like meter reading. That's just something I think we ought to take a second look at.
Would it be appropriate,
Mr. Carter,
to discuss the possibility of increasing the staff? This maintenance thing is going to be ongoing. You have to catch up, and then you have to stay up. Right.
I'd like to speak to that, if you don't mind. Since becoming prez, I've been approached several times by our field supervisor. You know, we need more staff. We need more staff. I said, this is what I need you to do. For a couple months running, you have put, I don't care what you write it on. It can be a roll of toilet paper, but I need a list of what was planned to do day by day for that month, what you were able to accomplish, those things that took time away and you didn't get other things accomplished, and then what was remaining that didn't get accomplished that month, and what kind of manpower that would take to do that. Because that's the only way I feel that staff and or myself could come before the board and justify hiring field staff. That, it's like the saying, you can lead a mule to water, but you can't force it to drink. Okay? If I was standing in quicksand waiting for that to come so I could be rescued, I'd be so far down, you wouldn't believe it. It just doesn't happen, Cliff. And I am so frustrated about it because I keep getting hit with, we need more staff. And you just can't say, well, we need more staff.
Well, I don't suggest you just blindly hire somebody. I suggest you make an analysis, which you just mentioned.
But it's not forthcoming from the
Ask for it. Demand it.
Mr. Prince.
You have a very competent superintendent.
Mr. Prince.
Cliff, I've done that three times.
With whom?
I have demanded it with the field superintendent.
It's not your place to do that. It's the manager's place to do that.
Well, because he comes to me.
No.
And Michael's requested it also.
Well, you tell him, Larry.
Yeah.
If anybody in the staff comes to you, now, Michael, you should comment on this. You tell him that he answers to the superintendent and or the manager. It's inappropriate for him to come to you, totally. And it's inappropriate for you to entertain him.
Mr. Wynn.
Friends, we're in the middle of a little something here that I don't think is quite appropriate in a budget meeting, and yet I think it's extremely important.
I think it is germane to budget, but we are off the track and we need to continue on.
Please.
Please.
I have reservations about the utility supervisor, and this is not the place to discuss those. It definitely has an effect on the budget as well, in terms of how many at what position and what they're paid. This aspect, I think, should go to the personnel subcommittee, yourself and Mrs. Wiersing. Pardon?
It's Wiersing.
Wiersing.
Never mind. Okay, go ahead.
And then in consultation with the general manager and possibly others of his staff. You should come back to us and make some recommendations, and that will change the budget if any changes are made. I think we have a leadership problem, and I don't think it's appropriate to say beyond that. I don't want to get into personalities today in terms of workers, but
rather focus
would
on
be inappropriate. But I think that's where this needs to be settled, and I think it needs to be settled fairly quickly.
Well, I tend to agree with you. Mrs. Wiersing?
I want to ask a question about the sewer jetting and pumping service. When
we're on page
55. But I just have a question. When was the last time this was done?
Sewer pumping and jetting, it goes on routinely.
So we actually hire that out because
right now it's hired out. So
it
commences last fall, and then there are certain sections of the sewer system that are done more routinely. But we've done, this entire side of the town division was completed, I think, in early February, started in fall.
So, our area where we are, Olympic Way, it's been years since because we used to get notices, that the water would be turned off. And
okay, this is sewer jetting. And then
the
flushing program.
Okay, the flushing for the water. Hydrant flushing.
As far as I can tell, there was not and has not been a formal flushing program. The best I can obtained from staff as far as why we'd have notices for shut off on Olympic or any other area of the distribution system has been to do an emergency repair or a fire hydrant was off, that type of thing, and maybe we had an inadvertent flushing incident, which then you get some cloudy water and staff will have to chase that cloudy water down and try to get that cleared out. In this past year, my thought process was, I've heard the same thing about the staffing levels, and while I think the board has indicated openness to increasing staffing levels, once you actually look at the budget and see what that does to cost, we need substantiation to increase staffing levels, and my thought was and remains that in order to justify staffing levels, you need to have a planned maintenance system that tells us, it helps us give a number of what, how many man hours we have in maintenance each year and how many man hours we have in operations, and then that comes out to how many operator hours would be the more correct term, and then how many operators we'll need on staff. And you basically begin a process that way and step through it and then define what your needed staffing levels are. And if your staffing is under that level, then you staff up, and now you have justification to feed into rates.
I think what my point was is that we used to have this done frequently, like every other year. We would, get notices, and we'd have to, be warned to take your shower because we're going to turn your water off, But what I'm saying really is that we haven't had this done for years. And I was just curious as to why we hadn't had it done for years, so that was
this is primarily sewer here.
Yeah, I know, but we do have the hydrant flushing program up above, which I missaid about the sewer jetting was when I was talking about the other. So I was just, sorry, we can talk about it some other day, I guess. I was just very curious as to why a program hasn't been.
And the answer that I'm trying to give is related again to staffing levels. And that's why I backed up a bit there. And in order to tie that into, I think, the discussion that this is coming out of, what we do have built into the budget for this coming year, finally we said, as far as valve exercising and flushing of the entire system, there may obviously there have been portions of the system that have been flushed in the past. Mm-hmm. The full system is there's not a record of it for what that's worth, and I think you need to record these things. But so what we've provided is estimates to have outside contracting do a full flushing of the system, because we felt that we didn't want yet another year to go by and miss flushing. We've got a number of frozen valves we know of now that have been identified, these types of things. We've got a system that is over 40 years old, some portions of it. And as has been discussed many times with your board, there is a need to get on top of this. So this year we have what I consider at least a two-prong approach. One is we're going to contract out some of this important work that needs to get done and should have been done last year, the year before, whatever. It has not been done, needs to get done. We're going to contract it out, get it done. And that's valve exercising and flushing of the water system. We have some ongoing sewer jetting right now that has never really been broken out in the budget. We've broken that out in the budget. We're going to go out to bid and have that sewer jetting bid competitively and done as it has been, but in a more formalized manner. Now, in addition to that, you'll see a master plan update in the budget, and as part of the master plan update, we've been having discussions that will include a review of our staffing levels, and what we hope to bring out of that and bring back to the board then as we enter what we're talking about is probably doing rate discussions and at the very least our budget discussions for next year, and we'll have that information in place to justify a review of our staffing levels in relationship to how many lift stations and pump stations and treatment plants and things that this district has. We've also talked to you that we've got sanitary sewer overflow statewide discharge requirements coming, so that will build into that. And we have a new pipeline coming on and new treatment tanks, so we'll vision that forward. Bringing all this together then to your board with a recommendation and justification for a staffing plan that will take us out for a number of years to staff up. I think it's a shared opinion among staff that our field staffing levels are low. At the same time, we have to turn those opinions into something more justified facts that we can. If we doubled our staffing today, it would greatly affect what our water rates and sewer rates are to our customers. And so it has to be a sound and well-founded recommendation and decision then ultimately by the board. So that's where we're at. I'm trying to think. I know we had another element as far as a staffing and maintenance issue. I know what it is. And we have in this proposed budget a recommendation to go out and do a salary survey then of our staffing. So we do a professional level salary survey, something we can present to your board next year in relationship to the entire package. Here's what our staffing levels are, here's what our recommendation is to meet suggested staffing levels, or maybe they're just fine, or maybe we need to let some folks go. I don't think that will be the result, but whatever the result, present the result, present the range of salaries and make some decisions on these things.
Before we get too sidetracked on all this good stuff, we do need to address the budget.
My
comment is regarding the budget.
Okay. Mr. Trott,
and it's a question slash suggestion. As you know, I dwell on Black Lake. Even though I am at large, I still dwell on Black Lake. And I've discussed many of my concerns with Lisa individually, but there is a 95% increase in Black Lake's water budget.
You're on page?
I am on page 27.
Thank you.
Okay, now, procedurally, the rates will be established when, Lisa? The new rates, water rates.
Our rates are established right now based on the Reed report when we adopted them last year. If the board entertains revisiting them, then that would be...
My question really is, how you accomplish the 95% increase? Don't the rates have to follow here?
Where are you looking at a 95%?
What page are we on?
Are you sure that's 27, Cliff?
Yes.
I'm looking at page 27, line item, repairs and maintenance, and footnote one.
Okay, that's the consolidated budget we're looking at. That's not the Black Lake budget.
It may not be specifically Black Lake, but the cost, much of the expense is Black Lake.
No, that's broken on page 55. Didn't say that.
I guess
that's a 285,000.
Yeah, 285.
What page are you on there?
Okay, if you go to page 55, Cliff, we have the Black Lake addition broken out.
Yeah, I have that highlighted also.
That's $19,550 is Black Lake water.
Okay. Okay.
If you look at the top, we have the headings by fund.
Yes.
When you go to fund 140, that's
Black
Lake water.
Yes. Proposing $19,550. Yes. Okay. But if the numbers, after this hearing and other hearings, if the numbers are established, then you have to adjust the rates to accomplish this.
Okay. Well, let me go back. The majority of this repairs and maintenance is out of the town water fund that we're addressing. The town water fund, we have a large operating reserve in that fund, and we have a goal. We've exceeded that goal for our reserve fund. So either what do you do with that money? You transfer it to the replacement fund for future replacement. You spend the money in repairs and maintenance that are needed, or you lower the rates. I don't think that that's the direction that we have repairs and maintenance that needs to be done. So even though this number may appear excessively large, and the current rates may not cover that, we have a large own reserve fund balance in the town water fund. If you go to page 32 at the bottom, you'll see that our reserve goal for the town's O&M fund is $500,000. We're estimating that at the end of next year, even with this large expenditure, our reserve will be about $1 million. So it makes sense that if we're behind in repairs and maintenance, that we should spend that money, get it done, and then when we look at our staffing, then that money that was spent on repairs and maintenance with outside service then becomes salaries and benefits of employees that are going to do it in-house.
Do you envision accommodating these added costs with Reed's projections? Have you looked at that?
This is like a one-time cost because so I guess I'm missing your point.
It may be a one-time cost and you borrow from your reserve fund or from wherever. You still have to pay those bills.
As Lisa's pointed out, we have used reserve funds. I think the graphic numbers at the bottom of page 32, where we've got a reserve fund goal, town water here, of $500,000 of reserve fund goal. Projection for next year, at the end of next year, with these additional one-time expenditures, is to have over $1 million in that reserve fund still. We've identified, and this board has made it clear to staff, that maintenance is behind in this district. Staff has reacted to that by including some outside services. Understandably, we'd rather do these things in-house, but
We've explained that situation. We're suggesting that we go and do some outside services this year to get to try to get up caught up with the maintenance. Hmm. We have significant and healthy reserve funds to do this with. This is not something where we're borrowing from a fund and putting ourselves in the hawk and we'll have to raise rates in order to pay. No, that we have this money in the bank and it's right to spend it on maintenance.
Okay, let me get back to my question. Does it appear that Reed's suggested rate increases
are adequate? Yes.
There's no impact at all on this. It's the reserve fund one-time expenditure. It doesn't.
You're slicing off the peaks with the reserve fund. Hmm. Yeah, I understand that. Okay.
Mr. Wynn?
So to get back to Mr. Eby's concern, which by the way I share, the principle is ongoing repetitive maintenance should in fact be done by our staff unless something like meter reading can be done cheaper, more efficiently by some specialized contract. You're talking about expenditures to play catch up.
Yeah.
But you firmly expect once we get caught up that these should be continued on, not by special contracts, but by our own staff, and you'll tell us what staffing levels are needed to do that. Is that
a summary? That's the goal for this year, is to do some studies and work that are required to define a staffing goal. But in a very rough vision of what we see in the future here is a water division, a sewer division, and probably a maintenance division. Each one of those divisions having a lead person and two, potentially three staff. I mean, this is typically how water and sewer districts are staffed.
With cross crew.
Good.
With operations, you know. And then that's how we, then instead of jetting being something we do on the outside, there's some equipment we purchase and we do jetting. You know, but when Dan was hired here 3 years ago, in you know, just not in defense or otherwise, he was hired here 3 years ago. There were two staff persons. It was Rick. Three staff persons. It was Rick, Ernie, and Butch, and Dan. And then Ernie was out on a medical emergency, and it was down to three guys operating this system, which we've added a few lift stations since then and maybe a few wells, but I'm pretty safe to say that there wasn't much maintenance going on. I mean, it is a matter of, they weren't even sure of all the fires that were going on, but maybe not. Maybe it's just inefficiency of those. And we have added some staff since then. We've gone to outside meter reading. We've tried to loosen that load, and I think we've seen some improvements to our facilities out there. I still think we need improvement in reporting of what work is going on out there, regular reporting and documenting the work. But we have seen some improvement. And unfortunately, again, since it's not being reported as well as it maybe could be, we don't know just how much of the jetting is getting done. The jetting, you know, these types of things, that information's not flowing well enough. But that has to, it's a step process. We've got to get the staffing levels up to where staff can react and create reports and do the things they need to do.
And when we do the survey, that'll identify what kinds of staffing levels we need.
And may I speak to that?
Please, Mr. Buell.
One of the assignments in my job description is to evaluate preventative maintenance. I researched various programs that'll help us track what we're doing, what we're not doing, and what we have yet left to do. There are some excellent programs. The City of Santa Maria has such a program, and they had initially proposed to do a show and tell of that program on April 17th. We don't know why they canceled, but they canceled, and they will reset for May. But in this budget, another prong of our strategy, if you will, is to install that program and to track what is and isn't being done and define that delta that you spoke to earlier, the increment of work that is needed, and determine what staffing level would take to address that need.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to move on the budget.
This is
part of it, but we're strictly talking about staffing. And okay, let's look at the overall budget, the numbers, the each of the funds, and especially the non-operating.
Okay.
Mr. Eby, please.
I have both the pretty clean version and the older version that I worked through with Lisa and Larry. And I've got all my notes in the old version, and I prefer to keep that. What I need to know is, are the numbers in here pretty much the same as they are in here? I found a couple places where you cleaned up the 3.5%, you put it on the right line. Mm-hmm. But the numbers throughout are, I can feel safe using my marked up version.
That's correct.
Because that has the notes in it.
That's correct.
Okay, great.
I usually keep the old and the new. Because, I don't like transfer. I don't, it seems. So, we have consensus, maybe start on the non-operating budget.
Yes.
The staff had recommended, which I believe is page 60. Actually starting page 61.
Well, can I ask the board to back up actually to 59? I think the comfortable way to do this is to look at the overview on page 59 and then to move forward into page 60 and follow.
Okay.
And if I might, Mr. President, looking at page 59, these are the projects that we expect you're going to be working on, your board will work on next year, what we expect we may accomplish in the period from July 1 of 06 through June 30 of 07. And the big dog in the hunt, obviously, is at the bottom. It's the supplemental water project. But looking up above the Hetrick water line, which you addressed the other day, we do expect to build that project this next year. You're seeing that is apportioned to the town water fund. We're projecting $275. We don't have our bids yet. We haven't done our CEQA yet on that project. But we believe that's a good budget number and an appropriate allocation. Moving down, if you look at the GIS system, we have, pretty much an excellent system at this point. We're just providing additional funds and spreading the cost amongst the different fund entities there, just in case we need to do extra work. The DeSalle study, $50,000 is what the budget subcommittee recommended. We're tracking, as you know, the supplemental project. We're also tracking what the South County Sanitation is doing. Oceano, Grover Beach, and Arroyo Grande are looking at their own DeSalle project at the treatment facility in Oceano. So what we're not necessarily proposing to spend money next year. We feel that it's a good bookmark, if you will, to keep that in check. But we honestly believe that's future reference. And in the interim, in this fiscal period, it's healthy to have a line item, but it would take some momentum to actually bring that back to your board.
Cambria also is considering DeSalle. Oh, they're considering buying up every buildable lot instead.
Yeah. For yes, only 30-some million dollars.
So anyway, it's out there.
See what I have in my wallet.
Larry?
Mr. Trotter, please.
I've made a note to myself here regarding page 59.
Mm-hmm.
I think various footnotes would be appropriate here.
Okay.
Whenever you see the big numbers looming, they should be explained in more detail, maybe with some footnotes.
And I don't know if maybe an addendum might be appropriate.
That's okay.
The footnote may not give you enough detail, and I'd be happy to. Well, in fact, what I presented to Lisa, just so the board knows, is I went through and I analyzed the projects and where I thought they would go and what the needs were. So
that's good.
Okay.
That's
good. If I might move down the Southland shop upgrade, and I know Director Wynn has some questions regarding Caltrans. We are willing to address and participate in discussions of those Nevertheless, we do believe that there's a serious problem with our current facility, and I think the board needs to reach closure on whether to move that facility or to do the upgrades in the short term, which we believe something needs to happen. We're clearly operating out of a substandard unit there, and it's actually a health and safety issue for the staff.
And Caltrans and Slocov both have put that out at least 20 years.
Okay.
And they've actually got it on their flow charts. It's not a high priority for them, mm-hmm. even though the community may feel otherwise. Mm-hmm. The funding agencies and the people that have the authority are simply not going to run with it. So
sort of slipped way out.
I think it's quite all right for us to move ahead with some confidence.
That is most welcome news. And I want to make sure the board understands we're not talking about a Taj Mahal here. We're talking about doing the improvements that we strongly feel the staff needs for health and safety.
And I was talking to my friend who's project manager at Caltrans here, and this past Sunday at church, and he said, we were hoping to look at it in like 4 years to actually move on it. But he says, now that's slipped way out now because other things sure. look to be higher priority. So here we go. You know, that's why he said to me at church, he says, you know, you guys ought to think about just moving the facility rather than upgrading it because we wanted to start that in about 4 years. Well, that's
now.
All gone to yeah. handbasket, so to speak.
Excellent. SCADA system upgrades. Again, this is mostly a bookmark. We don't have specifics here, but we wanted to have funding in case there were upgrades that were important to our control and telemetry of the system.
Do we have any funds that you're thinking we should allocate to interface with the county when they start putting monitoring equipment in their monitoring wells? They're compatible with the SCADA system.
We don't have any funds other than if there are upgrades to our system. I don't envision upgrades to our system required as part of the county outfitting any wells they might have. But if we did need something in the order of some minor support there, that we'd be able to pull it off of this
okay.
line. This is more envisioning adding some data collection points to our system. One is a pressure data collection point. Mr. Migliazzo and I have talked about getting a pressure sensor point. We still have some strip chart recorders up in Summit Station area, mm-hmm. and so mm-hmm. we still have some pickup points there. It would cost us roughly $5,000 to outfit that with what's called a site pack, which would then transmit that information 24/7 to our tower and then onto our system. So that's the type of thing we envision okay. With these expenditures, but we'd be able to pick up any minor.
I don't at all suggest that we should fund what the county needs to fund themselves. I just want to make sure that if they do so, that the little bits of interface or whatever, there's enough built into the system here that we can do our part without having to come back to the board.
Moving along, and I'd like to take the frontage road, the two items here. These are big ticket items, and again, it's not likely that either of these will occur actually in this fiscal period, but I want to remind the board that there's been some recent developments with private parties, King Ventures in particular, where we've re-looked at this and we've re-divided it in your water and sewer master plans. These efforts have been lumped together, and because of the recent discussions with King Ventures and Shapiro, we've rethought it and broken it apart. Our concept, if you will, is that if these private developers do relocate the frontage road, that section immediately adjacent to Taft, that we'll want to cause them to pay for the lion's share of this work, but any upgrades, any enlargement, or new facilities would be the district's responsibility. as opposed to the reach of frontage from Division south to Southland. Mm-hmm. Our vision is that if the Boyle study that's underway to look at the feasibility of upgrading Southland progresses to the point where you have a capital improvement program, to our way of thinking, it would be logical to do this plumbing at the same time you do any upgrades to the facility itself. So we broke it into these two parts. We'll monitor carefully what King Ventures and Shapiro is doing, and then anticipate that when we do whatever we're going to do, because that's not defined yet, to Southland proper, that we would package these other improvements with that public works project.
But you have these scheduled this year.
Yes, and you've had them scheduled every year for the past several years. You know, these were in your master plan, and they're just sort of moving forward.
But are you saying you do or don't expect this to happen?
I actually do not expect the portion from Division to Southlake to occur this year. I cannot answer the question of how fast King Ventures and Shapiro are going to move on their efforts. That is a out of our control.
Yeah, that may be a little downstream yet.
Yes, sir.
The extension of Mary Street to Hill is to break ground in July. Mm-hmm. And there will be a certain amount of infrastructure that goes in at the same time.
Yep.
But how soon Napomo Commons and King Ventures gets their projects off the ground and therefore allows this TEF to Division sewer line upgrade to happen?
They're pulling permits. And this really could happen this year or start this year.
I think the real question is when will the frontage road realignment occur? That truly is unknown.
Okay, the people that would know the answer would be Dan Woodson, mm-hmm. and Marianne Buckmeyer.
Okay.
And the county staff person that would have an idea on that is... Dale Ramey.
Dale Ramey should have an idea on it.
But my guess is that they can come up with maybe not a precise date, but something that's certainly good enough for annual budgeting.
Again, these are, you know, these numbers, not that our intent is to put them on there and simply carry them forward each year and never do the projects, but they do not affect our operating budget, and it's money that we have, as Bruce has well characterized, bookmarked for these expenditures and carrying that forward. And so that we have the money, we show we have the money, and we're ready to, in these cases where we're not driving, we're ready to support, be at the table as necessary, and then where we are driving, which is the Southland upgrade, what we envision this year is the planning that sets up those projects, and we'll, as this year evolves, we'll be able to come back to your board with timelines and information to show you just when we do see that expenditure coming on.
But we need to keep it on. But we need to keep it on the books. You know, that's basically what we're doing. It's here.
The staff is recommending that we keep it on the books. It's a good bookmark. It's part of the vision forward. We can see this coming, and as it gets closer, as I've described, your board will see presentations and schedules, tentative schedules, and things start coming in place, much like you see now for the. Intertie line with the city of Santa Maria.
Moving down, if I might, Black Lake Water Pump Station. This is an effort that your board started last November. We're into design now. We will be coming to your board May 10 with a request to amend the agreement because of what we found out in our analysis thus far. The $295 that's listed here, $295,000, is probably somewhat fat. When I did my analysis of this, Josh Reynolds from Boyle had indicated his projected construction cost of $203,000 plus a 15% contingency. That gets you up around $233,000. What Josh is saying is that that he has no way of knowing what the market's going to do. You know, this is his best guess, but he suggested that we actually budget with somewhat more and hope that we get good bids. The other part, in addition to the 233, and I was describing this to Director Trotter first thing this morning, this would normally be exempt from CEQA. I did put $10,000 in there just in case. It is not categorically exempt. This would increase the flow through that pumping station, and that can trump, if you will, the categorical exemption. Also, you do need to provide some budget for construction management in the annual budget. So that's where we're at right now. And again, this will be a competitive bid, and we will know during the year exactly what it will cost. And your board will make a decision as to approving this project, awarding the bid, and transferring the reserves when those bids are finally opened. Moving down to the Wood Green Lift Station, this is this little access road that we've had discussions with that unit of Black Lake on. What we're proposing here is to provide some hard surface that will allow us access to the lift station in wet periods. And then the big dog in the hunt is the supplemental water project. We've gotten some preliminary cost estimates from the design firms, and we look like we're right on target for the cost of design here. What we don't know yet is, frankly, what the cost is going to be for the funding and the permits. Those are again bookmarks here as your board discusses those issues. And we don't know if we're going to pay the reservation fee this year or not. That's a big ticket item, $187,500. That's triggered by the execution of the agreement with the City of Santa Maria. And I want to make sure the board understands that on our current timeline, we are expecting to certify the final environmental impact report in October. The MOU with the city says that we can negotiate a permanent agreement once we are beyond challenge for the environmental document. What we don't know yet, we know that if your board certifies the final EIR in October, there's that window, that 30-day window for challenge. What we don't know, what we don't know is if there's going to be a challenge like what we saw with the urban water management plan. So it's a bit of uncertainty. We're recommending you put it in the budget this year. We hope that we get beyond that challenge window, but we can't guarantee that. So those are the projects we've listed. There's other projects that we'd love to do that we don't feel like we have the time or the money to do, but that's for future years.
Mrs. Worsley?
Yes, excuse me. I noticed in the newspaper this morning on May 10th at 7 p.m., you're going to be conducting a water supplemental water forum?
Yes, the subcommittee. The committee is doing that.
Okay, well, they didn't mention who the subcommittee was.
Yes, well, I'm sorry that happened. I issued a press release specifically naming Director Eby as chair and Director Wynn as the participating director.
And, have there been invitations to attend this, or is just a...
No, we'll be publishing the agenda, and we notice the agenda. What we do with our agenda is we have an interested party list. It's a couple hundred people, I believe. Okay. So that each director will get a copy of the packet. I've actually created a packet for that committee meeting. You'll get that along with your board packet. You are welcome to attend the committee meeting, but unfortunately there's a gag rule according to the Brown Act. You can attend, but you can't participate.
Okay, so then there was another question that I had.
It's at 7, right?
Yes, it's at 7 p.m. I'm curious at this hour.
I've got another meeting.
You know, like, we always say that nobody will come in the evenings, but here we have it in the evening, so I was just curious.
I believe that was the chair's call.
We had, the last time we had it, we had more attendees than we normally have at NCSD meetings. Of course, they were all interested parties, like the developers and so forth.
No member of the public that had no development.
Okay. Is that it then, Mr.
Well, I just wanted to describe the balance of the non-operating budget, and I think it's a healthy evolution. What we just went through was sort of the master schedule for capital projects, mm-hmm. and if you turn to page 61, you'll see the breakout for each fund. So page 61 is the town division for water, and these are many of the same projects. There's some detailed projects down below that aren't in the capital analysis earlier.
Right.
But you can see many of the same projects. You see what we showed earlier in for this fund, the allocation of these projects to this fund and the total. You also see what we expect we'll spend in fiscal year 07-08 and 08-09 to the side. Those aren't part of this budget, but they give your board at least a forecast or a prediction of what we expect we'll spend beyond this fiscal period.
They're for planning purposes. Yes,
exactly. Mm. Thank you. Okay, the same.
I like that feature, though. Mm-hmm. I like that feature.
Well, I want to compliment Lisa or whoever proposed that
suggestion.
I have actually never seen this done in a budget before. And I think it's a very healthy thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, page 62 is the detail of where the funds are coming from and how it's going to be funded and what it will do to our fund balance. So the pattern repeats itself. You have for each fund, say fund 700, the town water division, the analysis of what's proposed, and then following that on the next page is the analysis of how it's funded and what it does to your fund balance. And then page 63, you repeat for the sewer, same pattern for the town division. Page 65, and you're also going to be talking about this on May 10, because historically, you've looked at your COPs and you've used COP proceeds in and out of your property tax fund. This year, we're not proposing to do that. This year, we're proposing to encumber all of the COP funds, so that your board would have discretion to use your reserve. We expect there'll be roughly $800,000 in that fund, the property tax fund, that you would use for specific projects that you would address when you have the desire to do so. Okay, page 66 is again property taxes, and that shows you your starting balance and your ending balance in your property tax fund, what we're projecting through the year. And then moving to supplemental water, this is again pretty much a repeat of what was on the capital project spreadsheet. And then the second page shows you where we expect to be at the end of this fiscal period. So that's the non-operating budget. Again, it doesn't directly affect your operating budget. We track these separately. But it gives you a sense as to, for projects, this is where all the action is going to be. This is where you're going to see money coming in and out to fund your projects.
Thank you. Questions of staff on the non-operating budget?
obviously, if you look at pages 67, and it is just a breakout at the bottom, but if you look at the next page, it says where things are to come from. When the largest item there says to be determined, it leaves you with kind of a lump in your throat. I hope, because I think we need to be very, very urgent in our negotiations with the other parties that are going to help with this. And whether they will or won't, either way, we have to get a pretty firm answer on that, because a question mark on and on is worse than even being told no.
And those parties be?
Pardon?
And those parties be?
The Woodlands,
Golden State
Water Company and Rural Water Company.
Rural Water Company.
And we want to assure the board that we are hot on that trail. We have a meeting tomorrow with the Woodlands. We've had a number of discussions with Jim Markman, who was assisting us in those negotiations, and we'll expect to crank up our efforts. Mr. Markman proposed we started with Woodlands. When we meet with him, we'll also structure the protocols for the negotiations with the other two parties.
So he's going to help you in those negotiations?
Yes, sir.
So I see we have to spend a lot of money to be able to get them to help, sounds like.
I think we're dealing with some pretty sophisticated people, and I think it behooves the district to step up to the plate with the appropriate batting order.
Yeah.
Yeah. I certainly agree with that.
If we just show up cup in hand, we'll get patted on the head and set away.
Just roll. Good boy.
Just
sit.
Crank it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is...
And Mr. President, one last comment from at least my perspective. Staff will make recommendations to your standing committee next Wednesday, a week from today in the evening. And then that is scheduled to go to your board on May 24th. And as Director Wynn correctly identified, there are a number of unanswered questions. We will make recommendations, staff will make recommendations to the committee as to what we believe to be good policy now and what needs to be learned before we can solve all of the puzzle. It is a work in progress, and I don't believe anybody has all of the answers, but you will. I hope you will hear a recommendation from your committee on May 24th as to where we're actually at in the funding cycle.
Okay, thank you very much. With regards to the remainder of the budget, any questions of staff?
I've been through most of the budget with the staff, so most of my questions have been answered already, and since there aren't any new entries or changes, I remain educated.
Okay.
Yes.
Mr. Trotter, any other?
I was privileged to have a private meeting with Lisa, and I went over all my comments.
Okay, thank you. Mrs. Worsing? Okay. Mr. Wynn?
No, I'm very pleased with the report. I must confess that I've liked some of the sort of introductions that are for a more general summary. This is very adequate, but sometimes they've been done, I think, a little more quotable. So maybe if we could tinker with that just a little bit, so that if you see the first, like the overview is a kind of a PR document.
Mm-hmm.
I think just in terms of helping our ratepayers understand where we are, I think that's a very valuable part of the thing. It's not, doesn't appeal perhaps to people who are professionals like yourselves, but for the average guy, pages 3 and 4 are what really are going to make the hit.
So spend some more time in there is what I'm hearing, maybe see if
I would flesh it out a little bit and maybe bury a few numbers in it here and there just to give it some sense of scope. I think this is the part that if you're trying to explain to somebody, what are we doing, you know, you can take these two pages and you can say, look, here's an overview. And I keep saying two pages, it's really three pages because it's pages 2, 3, and 4. I don't know for sure that the general public needs to know the fund number for each of these funds. It's useful, but do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I just think that this is one of those really great opportunities when people look at a very large document like this and they thumb through it quickly in the middle and they just hit a wall of numbers, that they can come back to the front. We can say, look at the first three pages, and then if you have further questions, we'll go into detail. I think this is really what sells it to the average guy. So, if I can be of any help, of course, I would be glad to. And I'm sure other directors would too.
And speaking for myself, I like having the fund numbers next to the funds. It just makes it a little more complete. Mm-hmm. Like we're not trying to hide anything, even though we're not hiding anything. Thank you very much, Mrs. Bagnuta, Mr. LeBrun, for the presentation. Any input from the public after we've gone through all this?
No, it's a learning experience for me. Maybe later.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nelson. And so with that, then meeting's adjourned.
Nice to
Good work, Lisa.
Good work, Lisa. Yeah.